So we're continuing with batch number 6. It's Tim and Teresa, and we have 4 more headlines for you. And this time round, Teresa is going to kick off.
Oh, how exciting that is. This is about gardener Gary living in a car as he holds one-man protests over allotment eviction. An eviction-threatened gardener is staging a defiant one-man protest in a last-gasp bid to keep his allotment. Gary Tinsley has parked up on his plot and refused to budge since Friday, June the 13th. The 63-year-old has long-term mobility issues, depression, anxiety and PTSD, and secured the Uddlesfield allotment plot in Northwood back in 2022 as a therapeutic safe space. But Gary has become locked in a dispute with allotment bosses. Gary of Tunstall told Stoke-on-Trent Live, "When I took on the allotment, it was a bit of a state. There were quite a few messes around, but I started working on it, clearing and cleaning it, and because I live with crippling shoulder and back problems, I prepared it in a way that would work for me, so I wanted to put in raised beds. When I started working to build the spaces, someone apparently complained. They thought I was bringing too many materials onto the plot. Apparently a tradesman had used the plot previously to store things on, so they were a bit wary. They asked me to draw them a plan and explain what I was doing, and I did just that and sent it to the committee. I asked to meet them so I could explain my plans and talk them through everything. I didn't get anywhere. I asked the committee never to approach me when I'm on my own on the site to discuss site issues because it massively ramps up my anxiety and stress, but they never acknowledged that request. I put in a complaint because I was upset with the way they were handling this process. They created a subcommittee in accordance with their grievance procedure to hear my complaint. But the person they put in charge of the committee was the same person who had made the complaint against me. That complaint never got resolved. It's still open 3 years on. Gary says he was handed an eviction notice in March 2025 and mediation has since failed. He said he was ordered to leave by Friday, June the 13th. But Gary said, "I decided I had nothing more to lose. I backed my car into the allotment space I'd prepared right at the beginning so I could unload heavy goods like compost and topsoil. I'm still sat here now. I visited the supermarket and bought a load of tinned food, several bottles of pop, hot water in a flask. My good friend visits to keep that topped up with tea for me. I don't know how long I'm going to be allowed here. I've been told to expect a visit from the police and the council sometime soon, but I haven't seen anything yet." Gary says the decision has taken a major toll on his mental health. "My father was dying of cancer when I had this allotment," he explained. "He wanted me to take 3 small fruit trees from his garden that I'd bought for him and my mum so they wouldn't be lost. They're here now, thriving and producing fruit. If I leave here, I'll have to leave them behind, which will be a major emotional trauma. It's tearing me to pieces. I've invested 3 years into this. I wanted it to be a safe space where I could get away from the effects of my long-term depression, anxiety and PTSD. I will often be at home for weeks. I wouldn't go anywhere or see anyone. But this allotment gave me a reason to leave the house. There were plants and there was potential to put in a chicken coop, which would give me something else to care for." Now Gary is willing to confront Stoke-on-Trent City Council and the allotment committee until he reaches a more favourable resolution. The ex-army nurse added, "I'd like the association committee to recognise they caused a big part of the problem. It wasn't a one-way street. I'd like them to backtrack and let me stay." In the meetings, the site secretary kept saying, "We want to draw a line under the past. Why can't we do that? I want to move forward. I'm going to stay here as long as it takes or as long as I can. I've already missed a lot staying here, my friend's 30th birthday, a shopping trip with my daughter-in-law, visiting my dad's grave on Father's Day. It's costing me a lot emotionally. I have sleep apnea too. Being here means I can't plug in my machine, so it's putting my health at risk too. But I'm not going anywhere." Stoke-on-Trent City Council is aware of Gary's one-man protest. A spokesman said, A spokesperson said, we are aware of the disputes at the Uddlesfield allotment site. We're currently working with the individual's solicitor to come to a resolution. And in the meantime, advice and guidance has been issued. We take all complaints and concerns seriously and at present cannot pass further comment while the investigation continues into all allegations from those involved.
Okay, I didn't get to do my headlines before because Teresa went enthusiastically into the first story, which I always forgive you for. Yeah, but I've got leaders hope that major UK funding review could provide Stoke-on-Trent boost. And then I've got coming up a little bit later in this batch, child sex offender killed himself days before he was due to be sentenced. So my first story for you now in batch six is leaders hope that a major UK funding boost and review could actually provide Stoke-on-Trent with more resources. A major funding review could leave Stoke-on-Trent with a bigger slice of the cake, councillors have been told, but officers at Stoke-on-Trent City Council say it's too early to know whether the government's fair funding review would ease the authority's financial difficulties. The government last week launched a consultation on its proposed overhaul of the council funding system, which will affect how local services are supported from 2026 to 2027 onwards. Proposed changes include a greater recognition of deprivation, a new way of calculating social care funding, and a reset of the business rate retention system. From next year, the government will also introduce multi-year settlements, which should make it easier for councils to plan their spending. Members of the City Council's Audit and Standards Committee quizzed officers on what the changes could mean for Stoke-on-Trent. The review comes as the City Council is actually facing significant financial challenges. It's had to request £68 million in emergency government loans over the last 3 years, largely due to huge overspends in children's social care. Nick Edmonds, who's Director of Resources, told the committee that while Stoke-on-Trent could end up with a bigger share of the funding, there also could be less funding overall. He said it's too early to say at this point, we won't get detailed allocations until later in the year. They've set out the position in terms of direction of travel and the elements that will feed into the formula, so things like updating information in relation to adults' data and children's data, aspects of deprivation and council tax equalisation. But the devil is in the detail, and until I see that detail, I couldn't give a confident readout on our position. What I would say is that my general overview of the consultation document is that cities with demographics like ours are likely to gain from this formula in terms of their share of the funding. The big question is the size of the cake. We might get a bigger slice of the cake, but how big is the cake in overall terms? Councils will be able to see the actual impact of the review with the local government funding settlement towards the end of the year. But Mr. Edmonds said that regardless of the review, the City Council would still face financial challenges and that difficult decisions would have to be made. So over to Teresa, who's going to do the next story for us in batch six.
Here we are. This one's about Stoke-on-Trent pottery firms to get cheaper energy bills. The government's new industrial strategy has been described as a missed opportunity to support ceramic manufacturers. Ministers say the new strategy will slash electricity costs for thousands of businesses, unlock billions of pounds of investment, and kick off a new era of collaboration between government and high-growth industries. But Ceramics UK, which represents dozens of manufacturers in Stoke-on-Trent and across the country, says that the government has failed to recognise the importance of the pottery industry. The sector has been hit by rocketing energy prices in recent years, which was a major factor between the recent collapse of Stoke-on-Trent-based pottery firms Royal Stafford and Moorcroft. Ministers say that more than 7,000 businesses will see their electricity bills cut by up to 25% by 2027 through a new British Industrial Competitiveness Scheme. And a small number of ceramics manufacturers will be among 500 energy-intensive firms that will see increased discounts on their electricity charges under the British Industry Supercharger. The strategy also commits the government to supporting 8 high-growth sectors, including advanced manufacturing and clean energy. But ceramic leaders were hoping the strategy would acknowledge their industry's wider importance to the UK and include specific policies to support it. The 160-page document includes just one mention of ceramics, recognising Stoke-on-Trent's status as the industry's historic British home, compared to 70 mentions of AI. A spokesman for Ceramics UK said, following the release of the government's UK Modern Industrial Strategy, Ceramics UK is disappointed that the government have fundamentally neglected the essential importance of the UK ceramics industry. While we need time to review in detail, we believe this strategy represents a missed opportunity to truly underpin and champion a cornerstone of British manufacturing. The UK ceramics industry is not a local or niche endeavour. It is a nationwide and foundational industry which encompasses a diverse range of products and applications and is critical for everything from house building to manufacturing steel. It is an error on the government's part not to support the UK ceramics sector in the industrial strategy and ceramics UK. In the industrial strategy, and Ceramics UK is calling for this to be addressed as a matter of urgency. We need dedicated policies that recognise both the vital role of ceramics in the UK and the unique challenges faced by the sector to ensure it can continue to contribute to the economy, the nation's security, and to maintain our global standing. Rachel Laver, Chief Exec of Staffordshire Chambers of Commerce, also expressed disappointment at the strategy. She said, while we welcome the ambition to create a competitive and future-facing UK economy, today's strategy is a missed opportunity for Stoke-on-Trent's world-renowned ceramics industry. There is no immediate support for energy-intensive manufacturers like those in our local ceramics sector, which continue to face unsustainable energy costs and mounting global pressures. Delayed action simply isn't enough for a sector in urgent need of intervention. Stoke-on-Trent MP Gareth Snell told the House of Commons that he shared UK Ceramics' disappointment with the strategy and asked Business Secretary Jonathan Reynolds what message he could bring back to the Potteries. Mr. Snell said, the one reference to ceramics is in history and geographic and nothing about industry. For months with my colleagues from Stoke-on-Trent North and South, we've been pointing out the immediate needs of a sector that employs thousands of people in our city. And yet today, nothing on gas pricing, nothing on electricity pricing, no access to the supercharger scheme, and we've just been given an IOU for 2027. But Mr. Reynolds insisted that the cheaper electricity bills from 2027 would be a game changer for the ceramics industry. He said, I think Ceramics UK are misplacing that criticism. First of all, ceramics is recognised as a foundational sector as part of the materials sector in the strategy. Their principal request is about energy prices. There are some ceramic businesses, I accept not many, that are on the supercharger and will get the more generous rate. But because a lot of those businesses don't match the supercharger's intensity test, that is exactly why the British Industrial Competitiveness Scheme has been designed in such a way that they will benefit from it and that will be a game changer for them. There aren't the same policy tools around gas prices, but we can see that gas prices are projected to fall from the very significant level they've been at. Stoke-on-Trent North MP David Williams welcomed the incredibly positive industrial strategy and noticed that it recognised Stoke-on-Trent's position at the heart of the ceramics industry for centuries. Well, the rate we're going, they probably won't last until 2027. It's a disgrace, isn't it?
Not good. Okay, so my final story now in batch six is child sex offender killed himself days before he was due to be sentenced. A convicted child sex offender killed himself before he could be sent to jail for his twisted crimes. Philip Moore ended his own life within the week before he was due to be sentenced. The 59-year-old of Kidsgrove had been found guilty of sexually abusing two young girls, but he was discovered at his William Road home on September the 27th last year after locking the door from the inside. An inquest into the death heard his partner, with the help of neighbours, had managed to break into the property, but it was too late and paramedics confirmed him dead at the scene. Police were also sent to the address and ruled out any suspicious activity or third-party involvement. PC Bain of Staffordshire Police told the hearing that Mr. Moore had an impending prosecution with the Staffordshire Police when we checked the police national computer PNC. I believe he was due to attend his sentencing within a week of his passing. From our observations, we believe Mr. Moore had taken his own life and nobody else was involved. Coroner Emma Serrano concluded that Mr. Moore's death was suicide, and she said that Philip Moore was born on September the 7th, 1965 in Stockport, and he was a transport manager and lived at William Road in Kidsgrove. He was found on September the 27th, 2024 in his home address. So keep listening, we've got a few more stories coming for you in batch number 7.